This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. When I went on my last holiday to Cape Town, it was amazing. My friends were there, the weather was phenomenal, and most importantly, the food was fantastic. But one thing I struggled with was finding the right places to stay. You know, all I want is a great bed, a fantastic shower, and breakfast that doesn't end at 8 a.m. I'm on holiday, I'm still sleeping. I also like ease. And the Hotels.com app easily helps me to find a perfect hotel for every trip. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly getaway or a relaxing spa weekend, on the Hotels.com app, you can compare up to 5 hotels side by side. Now, why would you want to do that? So you can see prices, amenities, and star ratings. And best of all, you don't have to switch back and forth between options. See? Ease. So, start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app today.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
For those of you watching on television, that's what they call Radio Row. It's a little bit lighter than usual. For you folks listening on radio, you're not missing much. That is where a lot of the regional and local radio folks hang out, and this is where we hang out, upstairs. And welcome back. Third hour of the second half of the show begins right now, and we are joined by a man that's been the talk of the day, and it's all good. Shane Beamer, the new coach of the University of South Carolina. And coach, you need to do more than impress the media, I know, but you have clearly impressed them based on all the people with whom I've been visiting with today.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. I meant what I said up there. I've watched SEC Media Days for years on television, and to be up on that stage today, to be sitting on set with you is really, really cool and something I'm very excited about, very proud of, and it's been a lot of fun and looking forward to the rest of the day as well. And congrats to you on your extension also. Excited you're going to be a part of this with me going forward longer.
Yeah, unlike coaches, we don't have the critics out there nearly – well, I take that back, but it is not – appreciate you saying that. Let me ask you about approaching a media days for the first time. You mentioned seeing it, and you grew up in a coaching family, but are there butterflies thinking, okay, I've done this 1,000 times already around the state of South Carolina, but this is a little bit bigger stage?
Yeah, absolutely. Certainly, I've had my opening press conference. I've done media engagements. I've been on your show. But until you stand up on that stage in front of a room this size, understanding that you're live on SEC Network and everyone's watching you and talking about you across the country, it's you get nerves, but it's exciting. And I'm passionate about what I was up there talking about and love what I'm talking about. I love being the head football coach at South Carolina and love being able to talk about our program up there today as well. And it was a lot of fun, and certainly you prepare for what the message you want to get across as well, and had other head coaches that gave me advice on what to do when you were up there and things like that as well, so certainly tried to do the best I could, and glad to hear that it went well.
I was talking to Coach Mullen about that a minute ago, and he's the same way in that he does embrace this, and he's done that a long time. But there are some, I was thinking of a particular coach who's no longer here, but you would look up there, and the coach gave the vibe that I really don't want to be here, and I don't want to say anything, so I'm just going to keep reading, and I don't know. I can imagine it's overwhelming. You go from there to a radio room to a television room to this, but that is part of your job, is it not?
Sure. No, it is. It absolutely is. And I saw that with my dad growing up, his son, and seeing the media obligations, and especially in this conference, you're the CEO of the program, and there's so many eyes are on you, and you realize that and embrace that, and it's exciting. It's fun. There's no conference in America that has the media intensity that the SEC does, and that does 4 days of this, and it's nonstop, and there's so many, all the faces you see on television and here on the radio or out in those hallways, and it's the epicenter of college football, and there's nothing like it, and it's something that I've love and embrace and excited about being a part of now.
Coach, I was talking to a writer earlier who's in my age group, and there was a time when your dad got into it and his mentors were, the head coach invited sports writers over to the house, and it was collegial, and I know you saw that firsthand, but it's almost to the point now, it's gotten so big that how do you manage the media?
Yeah, it is, because there's so many more eyes. There's not just your local beat writer with the local newspaper or maybe one other newspaper in the state. It's all the different aspects of media, and it's hard to develop those one-on-one relationships. But, you know, there's a lot of them. There's a lot of guys that are covering the SEC now that we're covering the SEC. When I first got into this league in 2001 as a graduate assistant at Tennessee, that I got to know then and still have relationships with. So certainly have tons of respect for the media and the job that everyone in the media does, and it is tough now because it is a different time, but it's exciting as well because there's so many avenues to get the message out there, to get the word out there through the internet, Twitter, Instagram, live TV shows like this, SEC Media Days, newspapers, on and on and on.
Coach, clearly when you took over this job, you took over running fast, and it was difficult because of the restrictions. Recruiting is now somewhat back to normal. When you look back on these first 7, 8, 9 months, I know it's insane moving, a family coming over. What do you remember, or do you remember anything?
it was a blur. It really was, from the day of my opening press conference, and then I went back to Oklahoma, helped Oklahoma win a Big 12 championship, came right back, got right back to work. Christmas time, New Year's, full speed ahead, still trying to put a staff together. I really feel like it was February before I did anything football related, because there's so many other things that go into this job. But I remember it was a lot of fun. I mean, there've been bumps in the road, but I mean it. I said it up there earlier, and it's 100% the truth. I've enjoyed every single day, and every day in this chair, something comes across my desk that you don't expect, that you're not planning for. If you want to be in a position like this, you want to be in a leadership position, you got to be able to make tough decisions and want to do that and embrace that, and I certainly do and feel that way, and it's been exciting and a lot of fun, but I don't remember much. Was able to get my family to Columbia the first part of March, and once they moved, it was good, but still haven't gotten into a house yet. We're still living in a condo right by the facility, so there's not a whole lot that I do other than just go from that condo to the 100 yards to my office each day.
And, I mean, we spend so much time talking about your family because we know your dad so well. But this is maybe a strange question for media days, but I mean, you've got a wife and kids who would like to see you occasionally. How do you manage that part of the job?
Yeah, trying to include them in as much of it as I can and not bring him work home. My dad did a great job, I thought, of, you know, my mom was around during the day, but when he came home from work, he was dad, and he wasn't Frank Beamer, head football coach at Virginia Tech. And it's tougher to do that with recruiting now, and I'm constantly on my phone and FaceTiming and texting and talking to recruits. That part never turns off. But like I tell them, like, if you want to go to big bowl games and win a lot of football games, we got to have great players, and they understand that. But, you know, working for Lincoln Riley was great for me, and he learned from Bob Stoops the importance of family, including your family in things. And if you come around our football facility, you're going to see our wives and the kids of our children running up and down the halls. You're going to see them at practice. I want that selfishly, so I get to see my kids and my wife, but I also want it for our players too, so they can see us as husbands and fathers and whatnot. I think that's important for the young men in our program as well, and trying to, you know, they understand that because of this job, there's a lot of sacrifices that I have to make and they have to make, but there's also a lot of really, really cool things they get to do that other children whose dads aren't football coaches in the SEC don't get to do.
That recruiting element, because it is different. Everything's different, but you're sitting there at night, and all of a sudden there's the top quarterback. you don't just sit there and look at the phone like I would if somebody's calling me.
It's tough because, you know, if you don't take that call, then he's probably calling another coach next and whatnot as well. But, you know, I think the young men that we're recruiting, they know how important family is to us and always will be. We've had a bunch of prospects and their families that came on our campus and got to see that. And I had so many moms and dads tell me on recruiting visits that it was really cool seeing how involved your coaches, children, and families are in this program, and they saw that, and that's what we're going to be about as a program. We're about family, and always will be. And my kids are getting old enough. My oldest is about to be 13, and my youngest is about to turn 8 here in a couple weeks, and they're to the point where they follow recruiting enough to they know who these guys are. So mine are getting old enough where if that call comes in and they see who it is on the caller ID, they're going to make me answer it and not let me not answer it.
Before you go, let's talk about this upcoming season. And I mean, I have some friends who are Gamecock fans, and they're telling me, "Hey, we're really going to be good." And I'm like, "Going, okay, I don't know. I'm just hearing the same thing." How do you balance the zeal and the enthusiasm of a fan base who's ready for a big season versus the reality of what you have out there right now?
Yeah, well, one, love our fan base and love the passion that they have, and they expect to win, and they expect to win big, and that's what you want. You want to be a head coach at a program like that has those kind of championship expectations. And we've proven in the past at South Carolina that we can reach that level. Now we're working hard to exceed that level. But, you know, I was hired for a reason. And frankly, this was a two-win team last year. And that 2020 is behind us, and we're moving forward. But to say that we don't have holes in the roster and issues that we need to get right would be naive of me to say. But I love the players we have in the program. I love the way that they're working right now. I said it up there earlier. My dad used to always say, as a head coach, if you're good in the kicking game and you're good on the O-line and D-line, you got a chance to be successful. We are. I like our young talent. I like the way that we've improved this team. We did have some roster issues when I got hired. I feel like we've attacked those and improved those since I got hired. And I'm looking forward to getting out there and competing and being the very best team that we possibly can be this season.
Well, Coach, thanks for coming by. I know it's been a whirlwind day, and it will be memorable because it was your first day here, and many, many more in the future. So great to see you.
Yeah, great to see you. Thanks for having me on.
You got it. Coach Shane Beamer joining us here on the set as we continue. We're live from SEC Media Days.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We welcome you back, and it is great to be at SEC Media Days. A picture there from a former South Carolina coach and a pretty good season that they had in 2011. And it's been a busy day. It's calming down now. We've had two head coaches on to begin this segment of the coverage, and, of course, many, many more tomorrow. Bright and early as we continue week-long coverage here from Hoover, Alabama. Let's continue with your phone calls at 855-242-7285. And Logan starts it off. Good afternoon, Logan.
Hey, Paul. How's it going?
It is great. Thank you.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Great. Usually I call you from Columbia. I've had a few conversations with you, but college, like most good things, have to come to an end. So I've moved back to in my parents before I go off to basic training in a few weeks.
That's right.
Congrats on the extension. Yeah, congrats on the extension.
Thank you.
Glad you're going to be with us for a long time. I just wanted to talk about Shane Beamer. You know, that's not only the South Carolina head coach, but I think he's my head coach now. I love the hire and everything about him. He has a lot of characteristics his father did. He's a really respectable person. I love the way he handled questions, the way he held himself above, you know, all the media and all the pressure. What do you think about it?
Yeah, I have been crazy about this guy since the day he was hired. And the very first interview we did with him on that day, He was just bursting with energy. And you know, sometimes you talk to coaches and you know it's part of a shtick or a routine. I believe with him, I feel like I know it with him. It's genuine. You have to just love this guy for his affection of life and what he does. And the fact that he's still a little doe-eyed saying, here I am. And I'm at media days versus, you know, other people that have walked in here and looked like they were about to, have their liver cut out.
Yeah, me and a lot of my friends we all just graduated recently, we have a Carolina football group meet. We've been calling it the Disappointment Club for some time now, but hopefully, you know, in the next few months we'll be changing that to, you know, Shane Train, Beamer Ball, something. It's just the one thing I like is it feels like he wants to be at my university. He's not here for a contract, like I'm not going to say his name, the last guy who was here. And it just feels good to finally have some life in
the
program.
I think the difference is the last guy was a press conference hire. It had been a difficult search. Yeah, a lot of big names have been mentioned. And by the way, this one too, there were a lot of trendy names. But ultimately, I think the fans helped Shane Beamer get this job, fans and former players. And, you know, whether that's the right or not, I've seen this happen before, and it turned out to be a disaster. It's not always an automatic, and, you know, some are concerned. But ultimately, you know, his ability to recruit is going to dictate and determine whether he can be successful or not. Hey, thanks. Good. All the best when you go to basic training. Appreciate it. A guy that's been to a little bit of basic training in his life is Greg. I had the opportunity to run into him earlier. Greg, how are you?
Hey, Paul, thank you for taking my call. It was really good to see you. I don't think we've seen each other in 2 years, and you're looking good, and I know you got the contract extension, so I guess you'll be staying in Charlotte. I've had a lot of friends ask me, is Paul leaving Charlotte? And as of today, I can say I don't think so.
The answer is no. I'm not leaving. I'm not going anywhere. I'm glad. You know, they're always. Anytime you have a situation like that, and I did my very best to keep it out of the media. I think there's enough going on in the media right now that. And I heard that. And by the way, I'm to blame. People know how much I love this state and this area that I'm currently in, but you know, I think my job right now is elsewhere, so that's where I'm going to be.
Well, glad it worked out for you. You know, one of your callers touched on one of the things I wanted to discuss earlier, and that was about, you know, vaccinations and forfeiting games. And I think the other thing that I took away from Sankey's conversation that he had earlier was that, you know, he was highly critical of the way that the NCAA has done things. And I think it really signals to me a shift even further away from this all conglomeration of conferences together into a Power Five, Group of Five split. And it seems to be much closer than anybody seems to want to admit at the moment.
I think it is closer, but Greg, I think the real issue is how do you get from where we are to where I think the Autonomy Five commissioners would like to be? And, I mean, we're watching in real time the difficulty of a group of people who are already together unwind from a series of contracts to expand the college football playoff 3 years earlier. And it's not happening very quickly. And the idea that you could break up the NCAA is far more complicated.
It is complicated, and I know that there's probably some collusional issues that some of these lesser conferences could raise, but you know, it's going to take a little bit more work, I think, to get to an expanded playoff than we thought a month or so ago when they made this announcement.
Yeah, and let me say this to you also on that. It would also be nice to get to an expanded playoff if you didn't have a league or one league in particular feverishly working against it. And I'll let that story come out on its own, but there are some old fiefdoms that are still being fought over, and it's the same. And by the way, it's nothing new. It's the same old story.
Well, at least you can say that there's some returning to normalcy. You know, I looked down Radio Row earlier, and it does seem different. One of the guys told me that it took him back about 15 years before you really had an influx of fans hanging out in the lobbies of these hotels, before they would cram all the radio guys table to table down that hallway.
Yeah, it was a little different today. I don't know. Sometimes these things fluctuate. But you remember something in relation to the media. It's a pretty challenging time for a lot of the media outlets because of the pandemic. So I think there are a multitude of reasons why you saw that today. Anyway, heading to a break. We've already had Dan Mullen. And we talked to Shane Beamer. We're going to talk to one of the most familiar faces in the SEC, Joe Tessitore, taking time out from Hollywood to join us next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
It's delayed.
Not enough. Hey, welcome. I forgot. I'm so used to being at the other end of a program hosted by Joe Tessitore that I forgot what it's like trying to corral you in.
It is nice to be back with you in this setting. I said to somebody when I walked in, I said, now it feels like SEC Media Days with you sitting at this desk with the big podium behind you. It feels right, Paul. Right. It feels right. Paul, we were here before. I mean, we've been covering this thing forever now.
We've been here a couple of years.
Back in the days of, like, big controversies and big headlines of Clay Travis asking Tim Tebow certain things. Or remember, hey, how about the damn year? The all-timer, Paul.
I know where you're going.
How about the year when they trotted Johnny Manziel in here after he got kicked out of the Manning Passing Academy, and I had to go on live with him to turn to him and go ahead, tell the good people.
I was talking to Glenn Gilbo a few minutes ago. We were going old school.
That was the ultimate. That was.
And we were in that room. And
no, over there, far corner.
Oh, we were here? Okay.
Yeah.
And it was my first week at ESPN.
Yeah.
And it's the biggest moment in the history. I'm on the set with you.
That's right.
There are at least 1,000 people behind us. And you're asking me what I think of Manziel. And I said, this guy's trash. I said, what he did, I said, this guy is, and I piled on, and then I caught him out of the corner of my eye. He was like right here.
He was right on top of you. You're like, he's absolute garbage.
And I was killing him.
I
had to walk, because you were sending me into the other room to get the coverage. This was live on ESPN.
This was live on ESPN.
Yeah, this wasn't
like
just
special,
like.
Special programming.
This was the biggest thing in the world.
Yeah.
And he was walking up, and I knew there were all these people. I didn't know whether he was going to hit me.
It was unbelievable.
So I said, it's great to see you, Johnny. And my hand, like, hung out there. He finally grabbed it. And then, because I thought, I'm in a big dog. It put my arm on. Most people thought we were great friends. Never said a word.
It was unbelievable.
And then you had to interview him.
I had to interview him. He had just been dismissed from the Manning Passing Academy with
that was a memory.
That, come to find out, issues that Johnny has had. And I had to sit there and turn to him and ask him.
And you were fantastic, bro.
No, I was not fantastic. But that was when we're in this. By the way, I apologize for my appearance right now in your show, because I was sitting where you were sitting in a full suit less than 2 hours ago. But I went up to my room. They told me I was doing radio, so I figured I'm just going to put on a shirt.
You are doing
whatever.
Radio.
So I apologize for looking like a scumbari, as we would say in Southern Italian. That when people talk about SEC media days and the hordes and this is a nice modified version of it, because we're coming COVID protocols, all that kind of stuff.
It's nice.
But the height of Manziel was insane.
Well, there's never been that many people around one. I know. I hope Coach Saban's not upset by us saying this, but.
The Johnny Manziel was the all-timer. Oh, anyways.
And then I went in the other room, and you said, thank you very much, Johnny. Let's get the reaction from the big room from Paul. And I continue to I doubled down, and he's sitting there watching this.
Yeah, he's consuming all of this.
Oh, would it surprise anyone that I have not spoken to or Johnny hasn't spoken? I've talked to his father. I take it back. I have spoken to Johnny Manziel.
I'm getting killed, by the way, on my text messages for how I'm dressed to be on. Josh Maxson is killing me, saying you may as well just wear a tank top on Feinbaum tomorrow. I mean, what? Anyways.
We all know you.
Are you well? Hey, congratulations. This was a big press release today that you signed. We're not talking about contract extensions on the Feinbaum show?
Sure we are.
Okay. I want to congratulate you as somebody that's been with you since the beginning, as the jackass who went over to Jocks 94.5 on top of a hill, when you were just the king of local radio, to watch the entire evolution and progression of your life and career on a day like today, where really your fans are being rewarded. Yeah. That's really what this is about, is your fans are being rewarded by the company.
Well, the network was more than happy to get rid of me.
They were like, we don't care. We're indifferent. But for the fans, God bless them, that they get more and more of you. So congratulations on the contract extension. That's big news. ESPN was, blowing horns, and they were unfurling banners, and it was spectacular to see how the news was put out there.
And to think that I sat with you, this is a story never been told.
Oh, boy.
First year on SEC Nation.
Yeah. 2014? What was our first year?
It was 14.
Yeah.
But in late July of that year, they took all the four of you, Tim Tebow, Marcus Spears, and myself out to Hollywood.
Oh, that's right. We did commercials, right? We went out to L.A. to do commercials.
And we all had our own. I said, so this is the trailer. Joe said, that's your trailer. We all have a trailer. And you quizzed me. You said, listen, I want you. I know you come from the local market, but I want you to be conversant. So we sat on the bus because we were there for 12 hours.
Because that's what film shoots are. They take 12 hours.
You know that.
Every shoot.
Now that you're a star. And you were quizzing me on the two deep quarterback chart at every SEC school.
Did I really do that? I sat there and I quizzed you. I said, "How well do you know SEC rosters?"
I said, "Well, no, I said Alabama."
Right. I was like, "You understand? There's 14 teams." In the
you told me that no,
there are still some who question.
I know Auburn had Cam Newton.
Right. You're like the big guy too.
Because I never forget. I got confused. There was Kyle Allen. There was like a bunch of Allens that year.
Kyle Allen.
And you were just going. I mean, kid, this guy's a professional. And he said, "I can't let you go out there and not know who the backup quarterback is at Kentucky."
Oh,
and I said, "I don't care who the backup quarterback is at Kentucky."
That is funny.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
But you're down with Will Levis and Joey Gatewood. Are we good with that? Maybe some Bo Allen there.
We had 2 years together on that program.
We did. Is that all it was before you left?
No. You left.
Oh, I left. I'm sorry. Anyways, well, I'm back. This is how good my career has gone, that I'm back with you here.
When I saw that earlier, maybe last night before I started packing, I'm like going, Joe's had an interesting career.
This is where I want to be this week. And I'm thrilled that, it's funny, you did an interview with me last year after, 2.5 years off in the NFL and off doing the ABC mini golf show and off doing boxing and this, that, and the other, and getting away from my SEC roots. And then I think the first week of college football last year, you brought me on the show.
Yeah.
And you made some statement about, you know, just welcome back to college football. I feel like you came back home. And I remember saying to you, I feel like I just put on my most comfortable pair of jeans and I sat on my well-worn leather couch. And that is as comfortable. There's nothing.
And now you have it on.
Now I have on those jeans. There's nothing that makes me feel more comfortable than sitting here on this set in this room with you. I would say SEC media, like Hoover to me, is the base foundational kind of who we are, right? So just being in this room with you makes me feel as comfortable as I can feel.
But I'll tell one more story on you, Joe.
The good people don't want to hear this. They want to talk about the SEC.
Well, we will. We're on 4 hours every day.
By the way, you've got the new contract. None of this matters. You can just talk about whatever you
this
want.
It
doesn't matter, Paul. It's
like
over.
A Steph Curry-produced 30-minute show that takes 6 weeks to do one episode.
Oh.
This is live show here. And
it's about right, by the way, the 30 days to do one episode.
You mentioned the old WJOX.
Yeah.
What people don't know about this gentleman sitting next to me is that in 2010, whatever year it was.
Well, it was 2010 season that, so it was what,
I get a call,
winter of 2011.
I get a call from Bruce Feldman, who I've been friends with Bruce a long time. He said, I'm coming to town Monday, and could we come by the studio and have dinner with you? So you walk in.
Yes.
I didn't catch your name at first.
Yeah. And plus, you don't watch national TV, so you really didn't care who
I was. So I asked Pat Smith, who
Oh, I just saw
partner,
Pat today, yeah.
And I go, what's this guy's name again? He's sitting in my and I'm doing whatever. I'm Joe Tessitore. And by the way, when you Googled Joe Tessitore in 2010, you didn't get much.
Yeah, nobody cares.
So we went out to dinner that night. We went to the best restaurant in town. Highlands.
Yes.
It may not be anymore, but it was then. And that's when I learned who you were. The owner of the restaurant, a guy named Frank Stitt.
Yeah, we had a very nice visit with
James
Frank.
Beard Award winner.
Yes.
In the previous 25 years I've been going there, he may have spoken to me once. He's at the table, and you guys are talking about where he gets the cheese
in
Italy.
Well, I think he also imported his he used Coach goat cheese from the Hudson Valley of upstate New York, if I remember.
Wherever. And I spent more time with Frank that night.
Right.
And then you told me what you were doing. I guess I'm buried the lead here as a former newspaper guy. Joe and Bruce were the producers of Roll Tide, War Eagle.
Which you were kind enough to agree to that night to be the thread by which the way the movie would be woven. So we appreciate that. Anyway,
it took a lot of twisting for a guy doing local radio in Birmingham to become the centerpiece of an ESPN 30 for 30. That was some serious arm twisting that night.
Which is why I have such great appreciation for days like this when I sincerely do celebrate your contract extension. Paul, when it comes to today and where we are in the landscape of college football, I'm curious to know this from you. I'm not turning the tables to interview you, but I am curious to know. Name, image, and likeness, the transfer rule, or the college football playoff expansion. What is it on the landscape of college football right now that gets your attention when it comes to stuff beyond the field?
Well, it's the NIL, because it's completely turned the sport upside down.
Has it? Or is that just what's supposed to be the reaction?
No, I think it's done a lot of things even beyond players. It is shattered. I started as an investigative reporter where, getting investigated by the NCAA was like getting a call from the IRS.
Right.
Now I think, who cares? I
mean, what is enforcement?
Yeah,
do you need to have compliance?
I think that's why it's more important. I mean, the transfer issue is a mess. We know that. We heard Greg.
But is it really? Is the NIL really an atomic bomb that hit college football, or does it actually make things easier, better, and is more of a common sense approach?
It it probably doesn't change a lot because the elite structure had already been developed, and the playoff did that. But part of the question can't be answered is I don't know when this playoff's going to start.
The new playoff?
Yeah. So
I think it starts in 2 years once they unravel and get through all the issues.
Well, if that is the
mostly
case,
being the Rose Bowl being the biggest obstacle to overcome.
Then that's that would move ahead because that is revolutionary what we're going to see there. But
I don't disagree with you in saying NIL, but I think it's the effect that NIL then has, and then you take it a step further, Supreme Court decision. Right. Mark Emmert now acknowledging, hey, listen, what are we really as the NCAA? And let's decentralize. Why don't we put this in the hands of leagues and commissioners and schools? And but yes, I understand what you're saying. But I don't think that it blows up the sport. And I don't think for those who say, oh, it'll never be the same and this and that. When a fall Saturday comes around and Alabama's taking the field, you're happily rooting for Alabama, whether or not the quarterback made extra money doing this or a lineman got an extra, pulled pork sandwich.
I'm with you on that part of it. But again, I'm an analyst, your host. So if I just shrug my shoulders, then I don't get invited back the next time.
That's true. Anyways.
Yeah, I'm Mark Kubiak telling you to take
Kubiak.
A break.
Oh, Kubiak. The Kubiak? Your fan base, do the listeners, do you feel like they know?
They're about to see more Kubiak in the future. Joe Tessitore,
I struggle with him incredibly so.
Don't go anywhere.
I'm not going anywhere.
This is like Carson in the old days. Don't get up.
You get the invite to the second block. I like that.
We're coming right
back. That's great. Okay.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we welcome all of you back.
Oh, boy.
This is the show that will not end.
I'm sorry. We're just counting Paul's money. Don't mind us.
Joe Tess for a few more minutes, and then Joe and Benjamin Watson.
What have you gleaned today from SEC Media Day?
I've had the most fun with you.
That's a bunch of...
No, it's not.
You didn't have fun with Dan Mullen up here?
Well, I did have. I mean, I always get the coaches at the end of the day.
So, they're tired.
I mean, you're getting them while they're fresh.
You think that's what it is?
I think it is.
Or is it just you? How are your relationships with coaches in the league right now?
Oh, good. Probably better than they've ever been.
I'm just thinking through the years.
Which, by the way,
there's some coaches who have wanted you fired.
No question.
They've asked for you to be fired.
I think I could confirm that.
I can definitely confirm that. So I would say, yeah, they're good then. So if there are no active coaches who are requesting your dismissal, let me parse my words. So I would say, yes, they're good.
I think at this particular moment in time. There are no coaches, and that doesn't mean that there isn't a sitting coach who hasn't pursued that in the past.
Okay, so thumbs up, medium thumbs down. Your relationship with Eli Drinkwitz,
excellent.
Now, good. Stoops,
very good.
Clark Lee,
I've had two conversations with him.
So far, so good.
They've been great.
Your alma mater. How's your Heupel early?
I do not know him very well.
You don't know Josh Heupel very well. Okay. Well, that'll be interesting to develop that relationship.
I trust you'll facilitate
Beamer,
that.
You like.
Oh, yeah.
Kirby.
Love.
You love Kirby Smart.
I'm a Kirby guy.
And he loves you.
I don't know whether he loves me.
It's reciprocated?
I don't see. When you grow up, you don't worry about that. You have your crushes.
You love him. We don't know unrequited love.
If
Kirby
he doesn't,
Smart.
Then that's okay. I don't care.
And Mullen, we know that Mullen is like, embracing, bro hug. I'm going to get you the Jordans, the whole thing. Pittman's great.
Love Pittman.
Hey, he did a wonderful job last year. So Pittman, you're good with Pittman.
Now, see, it's.
Was Coach O on the show today?
No.
Oh, so we hit something there.
No. I think he was already. Up here and out.
Beamer was on the show.
Yeah.
Mullen was on the show.
There's a system to this. I know you kind of haven't been here in a while. I know SEC Media Days has not been one of your frequent flyer miles, but so there's coaches do the
it's
not a matter of the show. It's a matter of the network. Schedule. They're assigned certain slots.
You're good with Coach O.
Good with Coach O.
How's your Jimbo relationship?
Oh, very, very good. Much better than it was when
Eli Drinkwitz level?
No, nothing's that high.
But, okay.
But Jimbo, the struggle with Jimbo was when he was at FSU.
Oh, I remember those years. Well, you did not like the end of the Jameis Winston.
No.
That did not.
That didn't
go.
You were
very outspoken during those.
I was.
Yeah.
My
and have you guys hashed that out since then, or you just move on and start talking about the Aggies and we don't talk about
it? The second a coach comes to the SEC, Joe, they're great.
They're all great. Right. They're all great. But what about the eight coaches that you ran off in the course of the past 3 years?
I never.
We have eight new coaches
let me say
since
this
the last meeting.
I do not like to correct guests while they're on here. It was 11.
Eight since we had a last Media Days in person. We eight.
I can't be responsible for other people's ineptitude.
I see. Okay. Which coach do you think is going to come out of SEC Media Days with a higher profile and a better branding of their program compared to when they entered? Who's going to win Media
Days? I miss these questions from SEC Nation. Unfortunately, they're wrapping me up.
Who's revving you up?
Kubiak.
Please, with that guy. Need him. Stop it. This is why I don't wear an earpiece. Like, I want to listen to that guy.